The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello, Director of Community Health Relations at the Ulster County Department of Health. And today we're going to be discussing Ulster County's 70 by 30 Renewable Energy Implementation Plan. And our guests are Manna Jo Green. Manna recently retired after serving as Environmental Action Director for Hudson River Sloop Clearwater and has collaborated with organizations throughout the Hudson Valley on a vast array of climate, environmental, green economy, and sustainable land use and agriculture products and issues, just to name a few. Manna is an Ulster County legislator representing the towns of Rosendale and Marbletown and is working diligently to implement climate solutions. She chairs the Ulster County Legislature's Climate Smart Committee and facilitates the 70 by 30 Renewable Energy Working Group. We also have Tom Conrad. Tom is a portfolio manager for a green-focused hedge fund at Investment Research Partners. He also serves as the chair of the Marbletown Environmental Conservation Commission and provides free energy coaching for individuals through nonprofit New Yorkers for Clean Power. Tom has a PhD in mathematics and holds the Chartered Financial Analyst certification. Manna and Tom, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So let's set the stage, if we might, and talking a little bit about why Ulster County's transition to renewable energy is so important, why we need to hasten that. What are the advantages of embracing renewables on a community level?
Well, why it's so important is that climate change is worsening. We're seeing signs of that with wildfires and flooding and severe storms. And the data from, you know, the scientists indicates that it is worsening. So it's really up to us to recognize there's an emergency, and it's urgent for us to wean ourselves off of fossil fuel and transition over to renewable energy.
And there's also an economic reason, right? Because seemingly renewables, once you cover the costs of setting up the equipment and the infrastructure, you don't have to buy fuel, dirty fuel, in order to generate power.
Yeah. So, the economic benefits are actually quite large. Just like any sort of import-export economy, we import all our energy right now, other than the little bit of hydropower we generate. There are no fossil fuels that are in Ulster County. We can generate electricity locally, and we have the land to easily become an electricity exporter. Just like we supply food to New York City, we could also be supplying very valuable power, which would be a great economic boon to the county.
And so, Tom or Manna, how are we doing? What is the current percentage of electricity used in Ulster County that's generated by local renewables?
We're not doing great. By my calculations, it's about 30%, most of which is hydropower.
And so do you have a way of determining, for instance, what percentage of households are utilizing renewables, whether they're doing it with their own solar panels or enrolled in community solar or something like that?
I don't think we can get numbers on the number of community solar households. There are statistics on how many solar installations they are in the size, so you could add that up. The numbers I did, I looked at the basically Central Hudson's interconnection queue, and I can find out exactly all solar farms from the small household ones to the multi-megawatt farms, which are connected, and you can get a pretty good idea of how big they are. From there, you can figure out how much power they're producing.
Yeah, because I get 100% solar from community solar. Usually it's a percentage, but once I signed up, I called Nexamp in this case and said, I want 100%. And they said, no problem, we'll just up your allocation. It was really terrific. Yeah.
Now, those are slightly different numbers because we chose in the renewable energy working group to focus on locally generated solar. Mm-hmm. The solar farm that's providing your community solar might not actually be in Ulster County.
No, it's in Rochester.
Yeah. So there are lots. We actually spent a fair amount of time discussing exactly the 70% by 30 of what, what is the number? But so we chose locally generated for the purposes of the study.
And so that leads to the next question. What is Ulster County's 70 by 30 renewable energy implementation plan, and how is it being developed and implemented?
Well, at the end of December a year ago, the person who was chair of the legislature, Tracy Bartels, appointed a working group of people that have expertise. And in some cases, Tom's case in particular, considerable expertise in energy issues that range from solar installations to battery storage to interconnection, et cetera. We committed to develop a draft plan, but that plan, it looks at the whole county, municipality by municipality. And the idea of 70 by 30 is a very ambitious goal, 70% renewable energy generation by 2030. But it's the state goal, it's the county goal, and our approach is to maximize both from what the municipalities themselves can do on their buildings and on their property, and what their businesses and residents can do, likewise on their own property, but also through a community, supporting a community solar project, as you described. So in June, we delivered a draft to the legislature, to the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee. And now we are revising that and making specific recommendations. But we're also working directly with each municipality to see what assistance they need to develop their own plan and then implement it.
And Mano, what are the biggest challenges and barriers with respect to putting this plan into place?
Well, I would say that what we're finding is that the so-called hosting capacity, the ability to take the energy that you're generating, some of which you may be using on site, but the rest should be able to be delivered onto the grid. And case after case, we're seeing that there is not yet sufficient grid capacity for the projects that are viable. The other thing is NIMBY, not in my backyard. Some people don't want to look at it. I think given that we have a climate crisis and in solar, the biggest growth for renewable energy generation will be solar and ideally with battery backup to sort of make sure that the energy that's generated is available 24/7.
So with respect to not in my backyard, is it really just the neighbors in close proximity? Or are you finding entire communities opposing? Or what does that look like?
Typically, it's the immediate neighbors who don't want to look at it. And what we're doing is we're working with the municipalities to try to figure out what are the best locations and what areas should be avoided. And the other thing we want to do is educate people so they realize that when they're looking at a solar farm, that's a beautiful thing, as long as it's wisely sited and we're not cutting down forests or covering prime farmland. Now, farms can be part of a solar array. The two can be compatible, but that's That's something that has to be developed. And what you don't want to do is put a viable working farm out of business of producing food.
We want to delve into this topic a little bit more deeply, but first we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs, life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check it. Talk to doctor now and share it.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it twice a day.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it in the morning and before dinner.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it, and share it with my doctor. Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor.
Now that I know my blood pressure numbers, I talked with my doctor. We're getting those numbers down.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check it. Talk to doctor now and share it.
Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Learn more at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Today we're talking about Ulster County's 70 by 30 renewable energy implementation plan, which is a plan that hopes to have Ulster County generating 70% of its electric energy by 2030. So Tom and Manna, before the break, we were talking a little bit and we started the show talking about why transitioning to renewables is important for the Ulster County community and beyond. And then we talked about solar generation and some of the challenges and barriers that exist with respect to that. Our guests are Manna Jo Green, who is an Ulster County legislator, who chairs the Climate Smart Committee and facilitates the 70 by 30 Renewable Energy Working Group. And our other guest is Tom Conrad, who is a portfolio manager for a green-focused hedge fund and also serves as chair of the Marbletown Environmental Conservation Commission. Let's turn to, if we can, Tom, to talk a little bit about grid technology and grid capacity, which has been one of the places where those advocating for renewables really are focusing on the need for the grid to be modified and updated to meet demand and supply. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's right. Well, interconnection and grid capacity is the bottleneck right now. There isn't a farm for a NIMBY to oppose if it doesn't look like it's going to be economic in the first place. So, and the reason there isn't much more grid capacity currently is because our grid was built to satisfy demand. And it has capacity to supply demand where people are. The easiest place where to build solar farms is where there's a lot of land and a lot of people don't have to look at it, which is exactly where the grid is typically weakest. So in order to greatly increase the rate we're going to install solar, which is really the only renewable that has the capacity to expand rapidly in Ulster County, there just isn't a lot of wind to capture. We need to upgrade the grid in those places. And to do that, it requires planning proactively grid upgrades for the places where it is. And there currently isn't a mechanism to do that. Central Hudson focuses on only doing grid upgrades where it's required by demand, not where it's required by meeting our renewable energy goals.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that the New York State law passed last year by, if I'm right, Sarahana Shrestha, Assembly Member Shrestha talked about, was a bill that would require the New York State Power Authority, which distributes wholesale electricity, to build out renewable. Is that part of what they're mandated to do in this case?
Yeah, actually, interestingly, they just published their plan on how to approach that, where they're going to work on projects. Mm-hmm. There are zero projects in Ulster County. I believe it's because they want to focus on large projects that are typically what's called transmission connected, that is connected to the backbone of the grid. And because we have smaller plots and more expensive land, it's very hard to do here. However, there's a reason to build it here in all of New York State, because it's very hard to get power from north and west of Albany down into the city where most electricity demand is.
Right. And so there are, as I understand it, there are a number of new technologies and innovations being developed whereby, you know, you have maybe people who are generating solar on site in smaller scale. You have some solar farms doing it on a larger scale. You have some battery storage devices, EVs that have batteries that can distribute electricity back and forth. Some communities are doing that where when demand is higher or lower and the technology exists to be able to do that, to smooth out that flow of distribution. Is that part of the technology that you're talking about when in grid tech?
Yes. So the technology exists to do a lot more than what we currently do with the grid. So the grid was again designed to deliver centrally generated power out to it. So it requires, and the planning paradigm for the grid also reflected that, to really put as much energy onto the grid without having to just build it bigger at great expense. You want to have sort of smarter uses of electricity locally using batteries. There are some also better wires you can do that you can put more capacity on the same poles without upgrading the poles. But all of those things do require new technologies that, according to Central Hudson, again, aren't needed to satisfy demand. And because they focus their planning and their funding around demand, they're not implementing those improvements.
Mm-hmm. But are they taking into account the huge increase in demand, for instance, with things like heat pumps and electrification of homes and businesses and use of charging EVs, that kind of thing?
I think they are. Their projections might be a little lower than expected for that. However, because solar only produces power 20 to 30% of the time, if you want to produce 70% of your electricity with solar, you actually need 2 to 3 times as much peak production from your solar as you have peak consumption from your, or at least average consumption from your residents, in order to get the averages to balance out. And because our grid is strong enough for just the average consumption of the residences, it needs the fluctuations make it very, you just can't fit that much solar in a grid designed for consumption.
Right. So you would have to vastly enhance your battery storage technology in a way of allocating that when and where it's needed at an effective cost point too, right?
Yeah. Or shifting demand to meet the renewables. Mm-hmm. So there are, and the Central Hudson is doing some things towards this. Mm-hmm. They have a smart charge program that rewards people for charging their vehicles off peak, which mm-hmm. could also be used to reward people to charge their vehicles when the solar is happening right near them. They haven't, that type of thing, using it locally, shifting your demand to locally use locally produced power would allow you to put more locally produced power on the grid without expensive upgrades.
Mm-hmm. And Mana, can you talk a little bit about how generating locally helps a community be more resilient with, you know, with respect to extreme weather events and those types of things, how communities can be more sustainable and resilient by having more local generation?
Well, the most ideal way to do that is with battery storage. And once you introduce battery storage, you can actually create a microgrid. For example, SUNY New Paltz has a large solar system, and they capture that and they store it in batteries, you know, what they're not using. And then if the grid goes down, they are still able to cover their most essential needs for electricity because they have that combination. That can also happen if there is a corridor with several solar generating facilities and a battery backup, then it can be more than just a small, it can cover a neighborhood or a right. a larger corridor than just one facility at SUNY New Paltz. So I think microgrids, battery storage, and load shifting are all ways of increasing reliability. Mm-hmm. I also think that every emergency facility, every fire, police, emergency medical, and the hospitals, etc., should have the ability to generate the renewable energy and to store it so that if the grid goes down, those facilities can keep operating.
Mm-hmm. And shifting to the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, which was a groundbreaking climate legislation that was passed in New York in 2019, it sets pretty high standards for reducing emissions to 40% below 1990 levels by 2030 and then to 85% below 1990 levels by 2050. How is New York doing with that, Tom or Mana? And is the funding adequate to make that happen?
The state just published a report. I think it was NYSERDA published a report on that. I'm certain that we're going to fall short. Optimistically, we'll be a couple years late, and there's an effort to try to revise the law to do that. I don't believe that's really the right approach. I think what we really need to do is focus on the things we can do to make to get this stuff installed sooner, as opposed to changing the goalposts just because we haven't tried hard enough so far. It's not really so much a matter of funding as funding is important for the grid upgrades, but it's a matter of planning. In all of our electricity, you know, generation will be paid for by people who use electricity and the grid that gets it there. But there's sort of traditional ways to do that in the past. And if we plan properly and spend money now on the grid, our electricity will be cheaper because it is cheaper to generate with renewables than fueled, but only if you can build it. And to build it, we have to stop requiring the renewable energy producers to pay for the grid upgrades that everyone uses, which makes it uneconomic for them to build.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really investing versus spending, which is really great. So as we're running out of time here, where can listeners go for more information on this work and to get in touch?
Well, they could call me directly. I'm listed easily on a Google search or manajo@gmail. And Tom, do you want to give out your information, please?
They can reach me by emailing marbletownecc at gmail.
Terrific. Well, this is really great work, you know, on behalf of our community. So I thank you for your work and your colleagues' work on our behalf. And we really look forward to seeing the results. And so thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.